Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the program. So much to get to. We'll talk Astros later. They're trying to tend to business over at the Dyke. Talk some Houston Texans. NFL season closer and closer. College football. There's a big college football game tonight. Big. Can you name that college football game?
Georgia Tech.
It's halfway home.
I don't
halfway home.
Who the other team is.
Colors are similar. Colors are very similar.
To Georgia Tech?
Yeah. The team that they're playing have very similar colors to Georgia Tech. In fact, they're the same colors. Nope.
Navy?
No, they're the same colors as Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's was black and gold?
I thought they were yellow and blue.
Are they blue? Okay, well, close then.
That's why I went Pitt.
Dark and gold.
I don't know.
This is so disrespectful. I'm offended.
I got baseball on my mind.
I'm offended that you don't know who Georgia Tech's playing, which Brent Key came on our program, so we'll see if there's any junky karma. They take on a Big 12 school.
BS flag. The colorblind guy just left.
What?
Brian, do you think Colorado and Georgia Tech colors are similar?
No.
Gold in a dark color.
They're not similar.
You started off by saying the same color.
I thought Georgia Tech was black.
Okay.
But Navy is still dark. I didn't say same. I said similar at the beginning. And then I said same because I thought Georgia Tech was black.
Yeah, I don't think Colorado has any black in their uniform.
Okay. Well, similar. I said similar to begin.
I think okay, so they're does. Playing Colorado. Okay.
So Colorado.
Yeah, we were never going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Hopefully
they're playing in Atlanta.
Hopefully they watch film.
This is a big game. Big game right out of the gate. It's a chance to show what the Big 12 is all about.
We get to see little Mendoza tonight.
Who does he play for?
Isn't he the quarterback at Georgia Tech?
I don't know if he's the starter.
That I don't know, actually. I
have no idea if he's the starter.
I think he is.
Of the Yellow Jackets. I don't even know their color scheme.
Yeah, I think Alberto Mendoza is the starting quarterback for Georgia Tech.
Utah plays tonight, number 21 team in the country.
Who do they play?
They play...
Idaho.
Yeah, you are.
Great start to the show.
And you say word children.
UCF plays today. Missouri, for all you SEC people. Maybe they're going to step out of the courtroom to watch a little football.
Yeah. But
there's some good football tonight, boys. There's some good football. We might have a college football segment tomorrow.
Good
in
with
fact,
me.
We're going to have a college football segment tomorrow.
It's nice for the Astros to take the night off so we can watch college football.
Yeah.
There you have it.
We appreciate that.
I got a Willie Fritz show tonight. It is football season, baby. I'm knee deep into some college football.
So glad it's back.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to the Colorado Georgia Tech game on the way home.
All right, have fun.
Listen to it. The guy that the radio guy for Colorado, I forget his name. His last name's Johnson. I forget his first name. He wears a cowboy hat to all the games.
Every game?
He's awesome. Love that guy. That guy's the best.
Why does he wear a cowboy hat?
Because he lives on a ranch.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
He tends to a ranch. That's his day job. He's tending to a ranch, and then he calls some ball games at night.
That's a good life.
He tends to his ranch, calls
that feels
ball
like
games
that's
at night.
That feels like a good combo.
In fact, last year when they came to Houston to play basketball, he couldn't make the trip because he got injured tending to his ranch.
Oh.
Which, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, he's all right. He's back tonight.
Yeah. Maybe he should tend to his ranch in the offseason.
Have you ever had to miss a game because you got injured while gardening in your backyard?
I've never missed a no.
That's good.
I've never missed a collegiate game that I've been doing play by play for.
You're squinting as never. If you're
no. I've
unsure.
Never missed. I've never missed a U of H basketball game.
Wow.
I'll miss some football games, sideline reporter for football to do basketball.
Sure.
And I have missed a couple of games for football.
Yes.
I had COVID once.
Not fun.
Last year I missed a game.
That's
when
right.
I went to Corvallis. I missed that game. So there have been some football games I've missed.
But never basketball.
Never a basketball game.
We see your priorities.
Never a basketball game. No, no. I'm a dog. They call me the Cal Ripken of play-by-play guys.
Yeah. That's how you got your mommy's wrist.
No, it's not.
Because you're a dog.
I didn't get... No, I got a wrist playing... Mommy's wrist playing golf.
Oh, okay. I thought it was catching a basketball.
No.
On the sideline.
No.
Because you are an athlete.
I am an athlete. I got the best hands in the business.
Yeah.
Some people say that I got like Esoc hands.
I feel like that means that football's back.
Football's back.
Now it's that time of year for you to, you know, resurface that video.
Should I retweet it?
I think you should.
Okay.
Does that video include you catching any footballs on the sideline? Any stray passes?
Yes. Okay. I don't know if they're passes. Or like, usually kicks.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there are some footballs in there. I need to start whenever, because there's been a few that I make the catch and then I forget to like go upload it. I just need to start commenting and put them all there. That's why there's a thread of me being an athlete.
Being an athlete.
Yeah.
Number one athlete on the station, maybe.
Some are saying.
Number two.
That's Sean Mapes.
AJ's number one.
Mapes is the only one that hit the Gatorade bottle.
That's.
AJ, I think I'd beat AJ in a game of one-on-one.
He plays basketball at 5:30 in the morning every day.
He'd smoke you.
I'm going to say no.
Pete Branham would beat peak AJ.
But now you're moving.
I don't know. I think I'd beat him now. I'd just move him down to the low block and post him up. Little round mound of rebound. You don't think I could post him up?
No.
I got a great low post game.
Define great. How often are you working on this low post
game? What's your go-to?
About 20 years ago,
maybe. Little dream shake?
No, usually I just you know, get them underneath the rim and go a little hook shot, okay. a little hook.
With the mommy's wrist, yeah. You can still get up the hook shot?
I got a good low post game in a Muggsy Bogues body. Actually, like Muggsy Bogues meet Anthony Pig Miller body. Kind of a combination of the two.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're taller than
Muggsy. I don't know. I haven't played basketball since I got mommy's wrist. I haven't played basketball in 10 years, probably.
Yeah, I'll take AJ then.
Yeah, AJ's going to smoke you.
I don't know, man. I can defend.
We can make this game happen.
All right, enough about me. We'll get to some other stuff. We'll get James Boyd. He's with the Colts. Colts. Brian wrote James Boyd, Colts best for The Athletic. Morning show host on 1075 The Fan in Indy.
It's supposed to be Colts beat. My bad.
Is it 1075 The Fan? Is it 1075 The Fan?
It's 1075, but on their Twitter bio, they write it out as with no like.
It's 1075 The Fan?
I believe so. I'll double check.
It's not 1075 The Fan?
It actually, that's fair. It could be either way.
Could go.
See, I thought it was 1075 The Fan, and you just missed something.
I hope they say 1075 The Fan.
We should just make that a bit until somebody corrects us. Like, we intentionally butcher it.
Yeah.
Until somebody's like, no, it's 1075 The Fan.
Oh, sorry.
You think we should do that? Or do you think that we lose? Some people are, they're going to lose their,
If he's good, he might not want to come back if we don't get it right.
I love the Easter egg of it, though.
That's true.
It's 107.5 The Fan.
See? Confirmed. I was right.
Okay.
10:75 a.m. The Fan. Joe doesn't seem like that idea. Joe cares about being credible and reputable.
Brian, I like how Brian's correcting everything so you don't read it the wrong way.
I know he's Ron Burgundy.
I am Ron Burgundy. Anyways.
Anything else going on?
We got sweats of the day.
Rained at your house?
Not only did it rain, but I drove into a tornado storm, tornado warning, tornado watch, whatever it was. It was raining a lot.
It was, finally.
Raining hard, raining a lot. It was raining when we left, too. I got drenched on the way out. So we got some rain. That's very exciting. Hopefully everybody's safe out there. The flood hasn't impacted y'all. The severe storm hasn't impacted y'all. But no, I'm happy about it. I'm happy that we got some rain.
It rained at your house, finally.
Yeah, but yours.
It's only been, not really.
Yeah.
At least not when I was home.
Brian, did it rain at your house?
Yeah, I got a lot of rain today.
I had an excellent lunch. Had an excellent lunch. Federal American Grill is very good.
Nice.
Very good.
Did you get the meatballs?
No. I got some other stuff, Brian.
Cheeseburger egg rolls?
Some other stuff.
Those are good, too.
Lots to get to.
How about the meatballs?
Meatballs are fantastic. Probably more of a post-show meal than a pre-show meal. Right?
Yeah, probably.
I think so. All right, so Amin Thompson got paid. 5 years, $208 million, a little over $40 million a year. Not close to the max. So he signs a below-max offer for the Houston Rockets. I don't know how you feel about it, Joe, but I love the extension. I love Amin Thompson. I'm a big fan of his game. I would have given him the max. So the fact that they got him for below the max, big fan, love that he's here for the next 5 years.
I think it's so interesting how Rafael Stone's been able to get all these guys to not sign the max. Like, it's not really happening anywhere else in the NBA, but he's gotten Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Amin Thompson, and Jabari Smith to sign below the max. He just, like, I guess these guys have flaws in their game, and they are also recognizing that, or they're really selling them on, like, the constraints of the aprons. And that if we sign you to a max, we might not be able to do this or this or this. And these guys are all just buying in. But the fact that you have all these players, none of them are signing the max, I think it's super interesting. I like the contract. Like, he deserved it. He's probably the second best player on this roster right now. Long term, he's your best bet on the roster. So you definitely had to pay him. And the fact that you could do it below the max is just, it's a fantastic contract.
Great, great deal.
Now, I think there's a lot to where his game, I think, still needs to improve to where, like, to avoid awkward conversations down the road of was he even worth this? Because I think right now, like, I look at it and I say, okay, this is a good contract for Amen Thompson. If he doesn't start to be able to have more ability to score, I wonder how we're going to view this contract in 2 years.
What do you mean? He can score?
Like, I'm like a jump shot.
Okay, that's different.
Like score in the fourth quarter.
If he never develops a consistent jump shot, will you still feel the same way about the
contract? He averages 18 points a game. I take offense saying that he can't score.
I think for this contract, 18 points a game is probably not enough, right?
I disagree.
Because what he gives you defensively.
Jeez, Brian, slow it down there a bit. Goodness. No, I mean, last year he averaged 18, 8, and 5. Like, if he gives you, let's just say it goes up by 2 in points, 1 in rebounds, 1 in assist, and he's a 20-point, 9 rebound, 6 assist guy, that's well worth $40 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see a growth in his game still. So, like, I like the contract.
Sure, sure, of course.
Yeah, I like the contract. I just, if at some point, like, it's in the fourth quarter, he never becomes a guy that you can rely on to take over a basketball game. Like, now it's because it's below the max. Like, it's still fine, but I still, like, I'm happy he got the contract. I'm good with it. I still just think, like, there needs to be another evolution of his game at this point with where this roster is at.
To me, it's more sidebar. Like,
that's fine.
If he is who he was last year for the duration of this contract, they're going to get more than $40 million worth of basketball. The Steph's no salary model, which I've never heard of this before, which relies heavily on the Darko metric. Was that named after Darko?
I don't know what that is either.
I saw this on Varun's piece in the Houston Chronicle. This estimates that Amen Thompson would be worth $248 million over the next 5 seasons.
Okay.
So $248 million, they got him at $208 million. That's a yearly salary.
Yeah.
So, like, they're almost paying Amen Thompson, and they're getting, like, a buy 1 year free. You get 4 years, you get one for free, basically, with Amen Thompson. So I'm a huge fan of this contract. I think he's going to be above his ROI if he's just who he was last year. Now, to your point, sidebar, like, can he become an even better basketball player and then make this look like a major steal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he needs to develop a jump shot, to answer Brian's question, to live up to the value of this contract. Now, if he develops a reliable jumper, which I don't think he's going to, but if he does, I think he'll improve, but not, like, reliable, then he has a chance to make this contract look like one of the biggest deals in the NBA. Yeah. So I love the deal. I love that Rafael Stone signed him on what I think is a bargain. They bought him for 4 years. They got one for free. And if he develops, if he does have another evolution to this game, then I think it's just an even bigger steal. Right, Brian?
Oh, yeah, no, I was waiting on Joe. I didn't have anything.
That's why I pointed. Oh, I thought you
you were very eager a moment ago.
No, I said what I was going to say.
You're sitting there. It looked like you were ready. But look, this is the roster construction. Like there's some of the, like, other parts of this roster I have a question with, like, long term. But, like, the fact, again, that they've been able to, like, they're providing themselves with such flexibility with these contracts. Like, it's unbelievable that they've been able to find a way to convince all these guys, a guy who probably should have been first team defensive player last year, all NBA defense last year. He ended up second team. He's going to be in that first or second team every single year with this roster and just with the way that he's playing. So, like, that alone probably equals the value of this contract. I mean, I'd imagine, like, Rudy Gobert makes around this much money. So even if he's just an elite defensive player, it's definitely worth it. So I think this is a home run for the Rockets, honestly. Yeah. I just want a little bit more from them.
I think it's a slam dunk.
I tried to do what you did. I tried to use a different
the other sport.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It was a touchdown for the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I think we summed it up. Anything else you want to add on?
My only thought going forward, and Joe hit on a little bit with the flexibility since they paid all these guys under the max, but it'll be interesting to see, and obviously Durant coming off the books probably solves all these concerns, but if they decide, well, Alpi doesn't necessarily develop to where we want, like, there may be some, like, do you want your top two guys who both can't really hit an outside jumper being your top two guys? I wonder how this either helps or does not help their flexibility going forward to reshape the roster if they decide that's necessary.
I think it actually helps them, be able to reshape it. And I think you bring up a valid point about the feng shui of the roster. Totally valid. Like, your top two guys would be guys who can't space the floor. Totally valid concern. Now, because they signed sub-max rookie contracts, I think it makes them easier to trade,
yeah.
Which, in my mind, increases their value slightly as well. Like, I mean, obviously, right? Like, if you're making $40 million and then you're making $50 million, $50 million would be more difficult to trade than 40, right? So, even if they move them, Alpi or Amin, I think it's their contracts that are easier to move and maybe more valuable to move as well. So it helps in that front as well if eventually you get to the point where you're trading one of them or both of them.
And even Jabari and Tari too. Like, those guys are – the four of them are now locked up together through the 2029-2030 season. So you've got your four, like, core pieces together through that year. That's 2 years post Kevin Durant. That's way past Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams, all these guys. I mean, even, I guess Reed Shepard's the next contract question that'll happen next offseason. But, like, they've got their core together, but, like you guys are saying, they have flexibility within it.
Yeah.
Like, if they wanted to trade Jabari's contract to add what Brian's talking about, he's only making $21 million next year. So, like, and it's 23, 25, 27.
He only signed for $21 million? Well, you have to be a Jabari to sign that.
So, it's interesting. It's 23.
It'd be too late to sign that.
It's 23.6 this year, 21.7 next year. So it drops down for a year, and then it goes back up.
Got those escalators.
Yeah.
They did that, the reverse escalator, the Dylan Brooks contract. So there's probably some
– Amin, too.
Yeah, there's probably – I didn't see the Amin escalators. Did you see the escalators?
I'll have to pull up the exact numbers. But
I don't need the exact, but what, did they go up or down?
It goes down. It starts in the 40s and goes down into, I think, the low 30s by the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that makes it even more tradable.
Yeah.
And affordable. I like that he does that. I like that he does the reverse escalator a lot.
Yeah,
it gives you a little bit more cap room. And then also, like, the cap grows. So, like, percentage of the cap, yo.
And he also, I guess, the men also gets the 10% trade kicker, too, if that ever comes into play.
Oh, really?
So that's good for him, if it ever happens. Hopefully it never does. Because, like, I do, like, think, like long term, I think the jump shot, I think you said it right. Reliable is not there, probably. But can it, I think, improve significantly? Yes. Like, I look at the way.
Why do you think that?
His free throw numbers. Like, I look at that and how much it's climbed from, he was 68% his first 2 years in the NBA, jumped to 78% this year. Like, that to me is kind of like a baseline of, if your free throw numbers start to climb in your career, that means there's still something there to be developed elsewhere. Maybe not the three-point shot, but like the mid-range can go.
Yeah, I don't need the three-point shot, but if he can knock down like the elbow jumper, like, that to me is where he can like take a step forward even without a three-point shot.
Yeah, kind of
elbow jumper, bury that.
The KD mid-range. Like, if he can find...
Well, I mean, that's the greatest shot in the NBA, the history of the NBA.
That's true.
According to some.
So if he can get, maybe the second version, the second best version of that.
Oh, boy. That's funny. Brian looked up the numbers. He's got his phone.
I've been looking for it. I haven't found it.
It's not a big deal. I hadn't seen that, though. That's I like that even more. I like that even more that they made it a reverse escalator. 713-780-ESPN. Junkie says JP3 is a B word for selling my $1,000 payout parlay. Needed two hits plus RBI plus run. If you're going to react that way, you shouldn't be betting. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, we all like a good bet. We like a good sweat. If you're texting into a radio program cursing out a player because they lost you a bet, I don't know if you have the mental stability to be making these wagers.
If anything, I hope you only text us.
I'm kind of kidding. I'm trolling you a little
just
bit.
Just don't DM the athletes.
Jay Bone, you still got your Georgia Tech shirt. You know what? I do. I do still have a yellow jacket shirt.
That's right.
I do have one. I was twinning with somebody else. 2 seconds left. Who takes the shot? Durant.
Yeah, Durant.
Jinx, show me a Coke.
We don't have a vending machine, so sorry. Tomorrow. Easter over 9. I'll get you a Coke.
All right. Sounds good. I like Coca-Cola. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're off and running. You want to weigh in on the Amin contract, you can. We'll talk some Astros a little bit later. James Boyd from 1075 AM, the fan in Indy. He'll be joining us at 4 o'clock. What are his buddies with Set the Flow? Set the Flow doesn't strike me as a guy who has a lot of friends.
No.
You call him a loser?
No, I'm calling a twitcher.
That's fair.
Yeah, he's kind of locked up in his mother's basement.
Yeah.
With a fat guy light
ring. In his underwear, living
he's
in his mother's basement.
Yeah, seen a light ring? Because he threw a football through that light ring.
Did you see?
Apparently he's going back to his old set.
He's got an old set?
I guess. Like, you know, I think we noticed how he changed a lot of things up during the preseason. I saw a tweet. I don't remember how I stumbled upon it the other day, but he's apparently going back to his old setup.
He went deep in on Set the Flow.
Apparently.
That's good. That's good for him. Yeah, I thought he got a little bit too produced, you know?
Well, too showy.
He's got to go back to being mean, too.
He's got to get back to his roots.
He's got to get back to basics.
They've been trash since he went nice. So
they have been. All right, 713-780-3776, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube at ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975, Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Zach BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. I think the Texans are being disrespected by The Athletic, Joe. They're being disrespected. And look, I believe I'm very fair. I believe I'm fair with my opinions and my takes and my deductive reasoning. I believe that The Athletic is disrespecting to the Texans. And I'll tell you what I mean next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
He's Joe. The last real good guy. I'm Branham, Huntington Bank bad boy. Brian's the brain. Why are people calling me, bro? I'm trying to watch the game. Just freezes my game because some spammer's trying to get me into a scheme.
What do you think they want?
I don't know. There's been this one company calling, and like the other day I picked up. I'm like, hey, take me off your list. And they keep calling me. I think that's illegal. I think I'm going to pick it up again and be like, hey, you're breaking the law.
They'll probably still keep calling you.
I know.
Have you ever had to, have you ever tried to sign up for, like, looking into health insurance online?
Yeah.
One time I did that, my phone rang probably 100 times.
It's so crazy.
It was all these different insurance companies. They just kept calling and calling and calling. It's not good.
It's ridiculous. I hate it. Something I would change. We do have a few sweats of the day. We're on the Astros to win minus a run and a half at plus money, plus 130. We're on the under 8.5 in this game, so a sweat going at minus 115. We also have a couple of soccer bets that don't look great. Real Sociedad over Celta Vigo at minus 125. And then we're also on the over 2.5 in that one, minus 116. And it's nil-nil in the 64th minute. We need some late action.
Yeah.
Or at least a goal from Real Sociedad and split it. That'd be all right. We did awful yesterday. Well, we. I say we. Y'all did awful yesterday with y'all's baseball bets. So bad.
I mean, weren't you just saying how the soccer bets, which Joe and I didn't back, are not looking
good? It's not done. There's still 30 minutes of action.
Yeah, but like we missed one of them.
Third of the game.
Missed it by half a run.
There's no almost. This isn't horseshoes or hand grenades.
I know,
it's pass fail.
Be fair, only one of those three bets that lost that Joe and I had did we actually both agree on. So, which means you had to back the other two for them to get played.
I didn't do anything. I backed nothing. Yesterday I took myself out of the baseball conversation and let you two attack it.
I mean, it's two out of
three.
That
was my fault. I learned my lesson there.
Yeah, two out of three.
Learned my lesson. I didn't have any opinion. I didn't have opinion yes, I didn't have opinion no. I was like, I'm just going to stand out of it today. Didn't really have time to look into it. I was like, I'm just going to let them do their thing. And boy, did I learn my lesson.
I'll tell you what, I'm ice cold in baseball right now.
Learned my lesson. That's the last time I do that.
I've taken a break from baseball betting in real life.
Oh, really?
I'm that cold right now. I'm like, I'm just, everything misses by half a run.
Some would say you're inside the icebox.
Yep, I am.
R.I.P.
Some would say you're inside the icebox. All right, so I believe that the Houston Texans are being disrespected by The Athletic. They have their top 25 and under players in the National Football League. I hate when people do that. I don't know why I did it. They have Will Anderson 6 and Derek Stingley 7. And this is criminal. There's no reason they should be 6 and 7. They should both be in the top 5. Trent McDuffie, I didn't do it that time.
I know you did.
Trent McDuffie's number 5. For the Rams. He ain't better than Derek Stingley, Will Anderson. Kyle Hamilton, who should be a Houston Texan, some say, he's really good. I don't believe he's better than Will Anderson or Derek Stingley.
Agreed.
Mostly because of positional value. Kyle Hamilton's great at his position. But it's a safety. It's not a corner. That's more important. Same thing with an edge rusher. That's not as important. So they should be both ahead of Kyle Hamilton. Third, they have Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. I don't really have a pushback there. Jalen Carter? I wouldn't have Jalen Carter ahead of Will Anderson. Mostly, again, because of the positional importance. Probably not Stingley either. And then Penei Sewell, number one. Okay, that's fine.
That's the only one that I really agree with.
Why don't you like Brock, bro?
I like Brock, but he didn't have a good enough year last year.
Yeah.
Like, just comparatively. Like, and part of it's the quarterback wasn't great last year.
You can make
year.
That same argument for Stingley, though. Some people look at Stingley's 2025, like, not his best.
Was he still all pro last year?
I don't believe so.
No? Okay.
No. It was 2 years ago, back-to-back.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, maybe Brock goes in front of Stingley. But I wouldn't put him in front of Will Anderson.
No, he was All-Pro. My bad. He was All-Pro last year and the year before.
Yeah, then Stingley and those guys should be 2 and 3 on this list.
Okay.
And really, like, and it's hard for me to argue one. I don't pretend to, like, know offensive linemen like Lance does. But I know Penei Sewell is sick. So, like, I won't make the argument against him at this point. Positionally, he's a left tackle. It makes a ton of sense. Or he's going to be a left tackle now. It makes a ton of sense why he's there at one. But those guys should be 2 and 3 on the list. This list sucks.
It's a bad list.
It's basically, honestly, it's bad from like start to finish.
It's a bad Texan. It's disrespecting the Texans' defensive players.
Okay. How about the guys that you mentioned in front of those two guys? How many of those guys are you putting in front of Puka Nacua and Bijan Robinson?
Probably none of them.
Exactly. Like I think the top five guys under 25 like would be like Penei Sewell, Stingley, Anderson, Bijan, Puka.
That's a really bad list.
I mean, they've got Gibbs 5 spots lower than Bijan.
I stopped at 7. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I stopped at 7. I didn't even realize Puka was 8 and Bijan was 9. That's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, you could make the case that those are two of the top 5 best offensive players in the NFL.
And then this list gets respectful to the Texans at the end.
It did get a little disrespectful.
Because this
Texans.
Is the only list this entire offseason that I've seen that has C.J. Stroud in front of Caleb Williams.
Did you say Jahmyr Gibbs and JSN?
I didn't even see JSN.
Gibbs is 14 and JSN's 15.
That's the offensive player of the year at 15.
This might be the worst list I've ever seen.
It's literally atrocious.
You just made the list.
This list should make the list.
Yes, this entire list is on Bad Take Boulevard. Like, I don't know if there's a redeeming quality about it on here. We got a notepad coming out.
This is what I'm doing to the list.
He's gonna make us. Oh,
we got props now.
We got props.
We got props.
That's what I did to the list.
We got props coming too.
Oh, do we?
List is gone.
We got something happening in the studio.
Oh yeah, we needed a level.
Okay, those we are.
Level. I have a level.
Yeah, so do I.
I have several levels.
Do I need to bring mine in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We need a level and some painting tape. The way we can make it very even.
Oh, is the dry erase board on its way up?
Oh, no. I forgot about that. But I can bring that in as well. Okay. That could go on this. Actually, I was looking at our – no one cares about this. It's inside baseball. But I'm going to have this conversation anyways because I want to. I think it'd be better over here.
The mini helmets?
Yeah, because I was looking at the non-clip version and just like our show, mm-hmm. like on Twitch and YouTube. And I think that there's more space here.
Okay.
I feel like a weatherman. Like, here comes the low and the high.
We also could to make sure they get in the shot, we could also just maneuver it.
I think they'll all get in the shot.
Because you're the only person that sits there except for like the occasional time that Granada.
No, they'll all be in the shot here.
Okay.
No, they'll all be in the shot right here. There's more space here, right? There's more headroom here, yeah. Brian. There's more headroom right here.
The shot ends with the end of your hand.
Yeah, that's plenty of room. All this space right here.
Yeah, that
can work.
That would be on camera.
And then I think we could go board here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, whiteboard.
Yeah, you got room there.
All right, cool. Just have to figure out a few minutes to come to the studio. I guess we can come before us. Rich doesn't always do a show from here.
Yeah, Rich isn't usually here in studio, so it's usually pretty open.
I mean, there are a few days where Rich doesn't do a show here, so we should be able to do it just fine.
Yeah, and we'll have time.
What a crappy list. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We need the Astros to not score any more runs. That would be delightful. Actually, never mind. We don't need this TV's so slow.
It's like two batters behind.
I pulled it up on my phone. They're in the top of the ninth. I looked at my right. They're in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, it is incredibly behind.
All right. Blue Ball's – come on. Finish it up, Blue Ball. We need a couple of games to go our way. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Astros here. Maybe in a little bit. So we just talked about how the Texans are disrespected.
Right?
With this terrible, terrible list. I also went into the future – and found another way the Texans are being disrespected.
Okay.
I'm standing for the Texans today. Why am I standing for the Texans? I feel like I'm part of the flagship. I feel like I need to go rock and roll.
Never.
I'm standing for the Texans today. I don't understand.
Well, sometimes lists are bad, man.
This is just proof that I tell it like it is. All right, 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You want to get in on this action? You want to do some sweats with us? Well, I have the perfect place for you, betus.com. Hey, you junkies. Hey, you sports bettors. It's me. I'm here to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino, and that is betus.com. Football is back, baby. We got a full slate tonight. It's time to get in on the action. And I only endorse one sports book and casino, and that is BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then play with BetUS. And they went large for you this season, too, with a huge offer. Get these numbers. A 200% welcome bonus up to $1,000 on your first three deposits. How do they even do that? That's right. A 200% welcome bonus. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not offer. And they have every product that you want, everything that you need, like competitive odds, same game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting for you. Do you want to get paid fast? Who doesn't? BetUS accepts crypto. And when you bet, you build points and get rewarded. Want to play in the casino too? Well, enjoy a 200% casino welcome bonus up to $4,000. Football is back. The biggest bonuses are back. Get started today at BetUS.com. BetUS, serving bets since 94.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Astros won. What a series.
Great series.
What a series for the Astros.
Chase the fight.
This is phenomenal.
Actually chasing the fight.
Phenomenal series. What a series. They also, I mean, they take 3 of 4, so what are they now? A game behind the White Sox for the 2 seed? And then they own the tiebreaker. And now they're 2.5 games up on the Rangers? All right.
So bipolar.
Game and a half, looks like.
Can't beat the Angels, can't beat the
Athletics.
They're
a game and a half back?
Yeah.
Beat the Yankees.
Oh, because they entered 3.5.
Yeah, they were 2.5 back going into today's game.
They entered the series 3.5 back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Game and a half. I think the White Sox are headed to the guards, too. So, like, okay, competitive. Competitive series there. Great series, White Sox. We applaud you. And then they also won us both of our bets on the Astros today.
That's good.
Minus a run and a half at +130. I stayed under. I was a little worried about the under. Because like 6-2 after 5, wasn't it? It's like 6-2 after 5, something like that.
Yeah,
I was like,
uh-oh. Sounds right.
I was like, uh-oh. And there was about 4 balls that were caught at the track. They looked gone off the bat. So somehow we hit the under as well. So we're up 2.3 units with the soccer bet. We really need a Real Sociedad goal. That would be phenomenal. That would really help us out after a bad, poor day yesterday. But hey, second day of really good pitching. Hunter Brown gives up 2 runs in that inning. I think it was the second. He didn't pitch poorly, though. Bunch of soft contact, like seeing guys singles. There was a little swinging bunt that they couldn't get a play on. And even with all of that, if Jeremy Pena can throw a baseball straight, complete a double play, they would have avoided any trouble there. So I thought Hunter Brown was very good. The offense came alive a little bit. Luis Castilla came alive a little bit. Job well done for your Astros.
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest series they've played in a while, and they showed up and they answered the call on this one. And like it wasn't pretty all the time. But you have back-to-back quality starts from your starters. I couldn't tell you the last time the Astros got that this season.
Couldn't tell you.
Like maybe one other time, like as a guess, honestly. But it took Hunter Brown like, 55 pitches to get through the first 2 innings, so it looked like it was going to be a grind for him, but then he cruised basically the rest of the way. So this is a very good one for the Astros.
Series win of the year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it very clearly is.
I mean, you've now put yourself in legitimate contention to have a bye in the playoffs.
Yeah, 3 of 4 against the White Sox is a bigger deal than 2 of 3 over Tampa because of where you're at in the calendar, because of the race, and because you're chasing the White Sox for the 2 seed. Plus, it's one more game. It's one more win, 3 of 4. And the Rays are better than the White Sox. But give me 3 or 4 over the White Sox over 2 of 3 against the Rays.
Yeah.
Especially because of the calendar, I believe.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like it's
what a series.
Yeah, I mean, and now you've now won series against the top at the moment 3 teams in the American League. Well, actually, I guess Boston's in front of them too. So 3 of the top 4. You've beaten the Rays. You've beaten the Yankees. You've beaten the White Sox.
Didn't they beat the Red Sox in the series to start the year?
Maybe they did.
Then they went in the big losing streak.
Yeah.
No, they absolutely did. Yeah, I can't remember if it was a 3 of 4 or 2 of 3, but it was the first week of the year, I believe.
Yeah, because they started off like 5-2 or 6-2, and then the April slide happened.
Yeah, they swept the Red Sox.
What was 3 games?
They swept the Red Sox the first time they played them, and then they beat them 2 out of 3 the next time they played them.
They've
literally beaten every single team that's in front of them handily.
That's why the roof of the ceiling of this team is actually they can
the what
the roof is the retractable roof is the ceiling for this team.
Okay.
So you're saying the
retractable
ceiling.
Roof is the ceiling for this team. Yeah. I think that that retractable roof is ALCS.
It's crazy.
I really believe that they could get to the ALCS.
Like a team that like they can't.
Or not make it.
Or not make it. This is the bipolar Astros. Yeah, either they're going to flame out before the start of the playoffs and miss it and Joe Spada gets fired, or they actually, you know, make a run to the ALCS.
Yeah.
I mean, they can.
With a minus 42 run differential.
They absolutely can. You got the best hitter on the planet. You got Hunter Brown, who's pitching better. Wisniewski looks like a Professor Wisniewski. My apologies. Looking good. The back end of the bullpen's good. Souza went a scoreless inning today. Abreu went a scoreless inning today. Now, the White Sox were ready to jump on that flight. You knew that early. Like, once the Astros took that 6-2 lead, it was after the third, actually. It was 6-2 after three, and it held. The over-under 8.5 held after a 6-2 start after three.
Oof.
What a sweat.
That's tough.
What a sweat.
That's a real sweat of the day right there.
Yeah, but you get the three that they have with Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, Hayden Wisniewski, an offense that maybe will get Correa back and has the best hitter on the planet. And then, you know, the bullpen that's been really good. Hayter named pitcher of the reliever of the month last month. Like, they got a shot.
It's
a favorable bracket, as you've brought up, yeah. Potentially.
7-3, I think, since they fired Dana Brown.
I mean, look, sometimes.
Invigorated.
Sometimes it just helps.
Hey. Look, who was it that was telling us that there were some talks? Maybe it was in an article.
Was it Booth?
No, I don't think it was Booth. Maybe it was Booth. I don't remember. But somebody was telling us, or I read it, that there was a lot of players unhappy that the Astros didn't make a lot of moves at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, that was Booth. Yeah. Yeah, the clubhouse was upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and remember, the Astros had lost 6 of 7 series after the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And the only series victory was San Francisco, in which they took 2 of 3 because the Giants just flat out gave it to you. Then you fire Dana Brown, and all of a sudden, what are they, 7-2 since they fired Dana Brown?
7-3, I think.
7-3 since they fired Dana Brown? Something like that? That's, oh,
because okay. 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, 2 out of 3 against the Mets, and then 3 out of 4 against the White Sox.
Look at that.
That's going to play.
I think they were mad at Dana. At the end of the day, I think they were mad at Dana.
At the end of the day, I don't blame them.
It's baseball.
It is like this season has been one of the strangest baseball seasons I can remember.
They're bipolar.
Like to have these hot and cold streaks, to be in position now, a game and a half back of a bye in the playoffs. It makes no sense with how bad they've played at times this year. Like, yeah. They've got a legit chance to run on the White Sox now.
They do. They do. So that's good. Isak Paredes had that double off the wall. Hunter Brown was solid. Altuve hit the first inning home run, chased one right at his eyes, knocked that ball out of the park. It's a good win. Yiners hitting the ball around. I know he only had one hit, but he had a couple of hard lineouts.
Varsho?
Everybody in the lineup today had a hit that started, with the exception of the top two hitters in the lineup. Jeremy Peña and Yordan.
No, Yordan got hit.
And he walked. He did reach twice. Yeah. Everybody reached base except for Peña.
And I know you're blocked, so you couldn't see this yesterday.
I can see his tweet.
Oh, okay.
Chandler. I don't search his name, though, so I only see it when it gets retweeted.
In the conversation around pinch running Nick Allen for Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, that drove me crazy last night.
Chandler did respond to someone on Twitter and say he's also clearly not 100%.
Why? Because he got hit by, because he fouled a ball off his leg? He looked fine going first to third today.
Yeah, so maybe it was just last night.
He's just making excuses because he likes to be contrarian.
That's probably fair.
He's totally fine.
That did look like it hurt very bad last night.
Yeah, but he's running around just fine.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Allen's not fast. Like, I looked up their baseball savants. Not that big a difference.
Really?
No.
That's not good.
So, like, I'm going to get marginally faster on the bases, but cost a potential Yordan at bat if the game goes to the 10th. It's not worth it.
And again, he wasn't even in scoring position.
Bingo.
Which is what the conversation we had the last time to spot at this, because he also did it when it was just a runner at first.
He's pot committed to it.
And yeah, like, this is his bit now.
And then how often does it really come into play?
It didn't, because Nick Allen got thrown out at the plate.
I don't want to be like, hey, it happened. And it was also a tapper easy play.
Yeah.
But like, how often does it even come into play? It very rarely even comes into play.
But it's going to be the way he does it.
He's just so, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, give me, you're getting a little bit faster on the bases whenever a lot of times it doesn't even matter, and you're costing a potential at bat in the 10th with the best hitter on the planet for Nick the Stick Allen. Is it worth it to run? No. Now, if Yordan's my leg's barking at me, different story. But he was in the lineup today, didn't leave the game yesterday.
Yeah.
He went first to third today, looked just fine.
If it was like Cam Smith in that situation coming in,
yeah, I would
feel a little bit better about it.
I would still wait to Brian's point. I would wait for him to get to second.
Yes, but I would feel like a little bit more understanding, but.
Yes, Cam over Nick Allen.
I don't need to look at the baseball savant. Nick Allen is not quick.
He's not very fast.
No.
No.
He's not moving.
Is he faster than Yordan? Yes. Is he enough faster than Yordan where you sacrifice a potential at bat in a critical moment of the game in extra innings? Nah. Nah. For some reason, he's in love with the idea. Professor Wesneski, let's talk about yesterday. Let's just talk about yesterday's game now. Professor Wesneski, he's a gangster, isn't he?
I mean, he is.
Isn't he so good?
So good.
I don't even know. Like, the sweeper's a really good pitch, but.
He's got some bulldog in him, too.
Yeah.
Well, he was fired up on the mound last night.
Yeah. Yeah, where did he go to high school? It wasn't the Woodlands, was it? Was it one of the Cypress schools?
I think it was one of the Cypress schools, yeah.
He's not a Bobcat, is he? Bobcat fight, never die.
I don't know.
That's what they say. Although all high schools say that, don't they?
Probably some version of
it's
that.
It's either
yeah.
like blah, 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 fight, never die, or like blah, 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 proud, or blah, 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 strong.
Go fight, go.
Oh, he did go to Cy Fair. He is a Bobcat.
There you go.
Bobcat fight, never die.
Boom, there we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
That's hilarious. I think he lives in the Woodlands. I think that's what it is. I think he lives in the Woodlands now.
Yeah, he...
Because he went to Sam.
I said it after his last start. Way better than I thought he was going to be.
Sure.
Like, this is a home run trade for Dana Brown.
You mean a slam dunk trade?
Slam dunk trade, touchdown trade.
It's a golazo.
It's a brace.
He's dealing, man.
He's way better than he was last year. Like, everybody's like, oh, Tommy John. Like, hope he's the same. Like... He's a full run and a half better than he was a year ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But this is why when people complain about the pitching, pitching coaches, I don't understand.
Oh, I mean, yeah. They don't realize that the Astros pitchers are terrible.
Like, yes. Like, those guys are just bad. This is like another check for the Astros' development of what they do with guys.
Wesneski?
Like, if the Astros want to trade for a pitcher, the other team should say no. Because it means they see something in that guy. That they're bringing here for a reason.
Yeah, hashtag Mike Burrows.
Well, that might be the exception.
That'll get all of them right.
Yeah. You'll get all of them. You know, for every you say Kikuchi and hey, Wesneski, there's a Mike Burrows. I'll give him a pass on that
little
one.
Ryan Weiss?
That guy's not fixable.
How about Ryan Weiss?
Okay, anything that Dana Brown signed this offseason does not count.
There's also a Nate
Pearson. Peter Lambert's pretty good, though. Like, that's what there's been some hit and miss here.
Yeah, but for the most part. It's been pretty good, the Astros pitching machine.
Nate Pearson was pretty good. I'm going to defend Nate Pearson for a second. Okay. Nate Pearson was pretty good.
I'll substitute him for Kaiway Dunk.
Okay. And Dana Brown couldn't go to sleep at night thinking about him on his team.
Which is crazy. Of all the things that Dana Brown said, that might be the worst of them all.
You want to guess Ryan Weiss's Sugarland Spacer ERA?
10.
No, it's not that bad.
5.3.
It's not that good.
7.
6.64.
Okay.
Damn it, I almost said 6.7 for the bit.
6.64.
Just gone with it.
How bad is this guy?
He's terrible.
Remember when Chandler Rome was whining and complaining and groaning, like, they're mistreating him by not making him a starter. He's not a triple-A starter, Romy. Goodness.
Romy don't know a ball.
No, he doesn't. He can report it pretty dang good. He doesn't know it, though. Oh, Ryan Weiss is struggling because he's being used as a reliever. Well, he's being used as a reliever because he sucks. Not even a good AAA starter, bro.
He is not.
My 6'6", what did I say it was? 6'6", 4? Unbelievable.
So.
Unbelievable how bad that guy is. How do we get into Ryan Weiss?
I don't know.
Why are we doing this to
because,
ourselves?
Oh, because the Astros pitching machine gets them all right, and then we remembered all the ones that did not.
You know the Astro pitcher that I'm really liking these days? A.J. Blueball.
Yeah, should.
A.J. Blueball. Now, he got himself in a little bit of trouble yesterday.
Got lucky.
Got himself in a little bit of trouble yesterday. Leadoff triple. He had first and third no outs. He had bases loaded one out. Well, A.J. Blueball got out of that sucker.
He hasn't given up an earned run since the 9th of last month.
My goodness.
And he only gave up, and that was the only one he's given up since the beginning of August.
Are you intrigued still making him a starter next year?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
I think it can go. I think it can go either way. You're going to put him in the rotation, or he can be Brian Abreu's replacement as your 8th inning guy.
He can also be the 7th, 8th inning guy.
Yeah, like I think they asked like the new GM, new manager.
I kind of like that role.
I'm fine with whatever direction they want to go with him. I just want to see.
I think it's just whatever the roster needs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because there's a lot of guys that obviously filling up these spots that we don't want in the starting rotation next year. So if they don't make a lot of improvements there, then yeah, let's give Blue Ball a shot.
Your rotation, if you had to write it out right now for next year, let's assume nothing. I mean, you're going to bring in players, but let's just not assume that yet. Hunter Brown.
Yep.
Hayden Wesneski.
Of course.
Peter Lambert.
Yep.
And then now you start to kind of search.
Right.
I mean, the guy that, you know who I'm going to point to?
Tatsu Imai.
Heck no. Although there was a quote from Tatsu Imai, I read it today in the Houston Chronicle. Shout out Matt Kawahara. That doesn't make me hopeful that Tatsu Imai is going to go back to Japan in the offseason.
Okay.
Because he started like talking about how this is his first go around and like how he should be in a better spot next year. I was like, dang it.
Yeah. He's going to stay.
I was like, son of a gun.
I will pencil in Imai on the
starting rotation
and on the hope. That what's going wrong with him is kind of what we saw with Sasaki in the Dodgers with Roki, where it's gotten much better in year two.
That guy's Japanese or Korean?
Japanese. To be honest with you, now I'm not sure. I'm like 99% sure, but you have me second guessing myself. And that a year in America will make him feel more comfortable and he'll be good next year.
I hope that you're right. They probably will try it.
They're going
to
try.
They'll probably try because, if they're going to try it with Imai, do they have to try it with Javier and his $18 million? You got Imai making 16.6. You got Javier making 18.5, whatever it is. Do you have to try on both of them?
No.
Now, Imai's got 2 years. He can opt out.
I would say no, but they gave Lance a shot this year.
They did.
So I think they would.
Here's Imai, because Imai was apparently he called his own pitches the other day, and he said it was like playing a video game by calling his own pitches, which is the first time they've done that. Quote, Imai, through an interpreter, "It's my first year. I'm going to different ballparks, different cities. Everything is the first time, so I have to adjust. I want to just go throughout the day, not waste time, try to adjust, and just try to perform well. But mental-wise, I'm doing good. If I pitch or not, I just have to be ready whenever, even for next season or this season as well. I just have to be ready and just get used to it and make sure that I can perform how everybody expects." So that's a reference that he's coming back.
He ain't leaving.
It's a reference that he's coming back to America, and he's opting into that second year of what could be a potential 3-year contract.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So he's in your rotation.
I think at the start of the season he would.
And Javier's in your rotation.
I would say no.
What are you doing, DFA. Javier? You're going to just flat out DFA $18 million?
Or eat half of it and trade it.
That ain't happening.
I mean, they didn't do it with Lance, so.
And they gave Lance a shot. They gave him an opportunity.
Then Javier's in the bullpen.
He's just your long guy?
Yeah.
That might not be a terrible spot for him.
Like he's in the bullpen. Tell him going to the offseason that, hey, while there's a lockout, you focus on being a bullpen
because,
guy.
Well, I he doesn't even be a bullpen guy. Like, bullpen, yes, but I don't need him to be a one-inning guy.
No.
Like, a lot of times, Javier's best performances this year have been whenever he's come in a, the third inning or sometimes whenever they use an opener for him, and he actually puts together a solid 3-4 innings. So just having him as your mop-up guy might not be the worst thing in the world. Like, here you go. You're our mop-up guy. If we need an emergency starter, it is you. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that idea.
And then Blue Ball would be the fifth guy for me.
Oh, so he would be in your rotation. You're like skipping a very obvious one. They're skipping a very – well, it might not be obvious. There you go. I can't wait to have that red-headed Tom Glavine back in my rotation. I'm so excited for Brandon. Have you seen his baseball savant last year? I love that guy. That guy would be your second-best starter.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it again.
He's so good. He was nasty last year. I miss him so much.
Nasty?
Yes. Look at his baseball savant.
All right, I'll pull it up.
I'll send it to you because I'm on the page. Dana Brown had dreams about K-Way Dung. Mm-hmm. I have dreams about Brandon Walter.
Okay.
And the tuna poke at Federal American Grill.
It's pretty good, man.
That's what I dream about.
I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, what's that little meme where like they're like the wife is like laying in bed with the husband and the husband's like rolled over looking at his phone.
That's you.
And the wife is like, he's thinking about other women.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's looking at Brandon Walter's baseball savant.
I mean, his baseball savant is.
Yeah, it's nasty.
It's really, really good.
People forget how good he was last year.
Yeah, 93rd percentile chase percentage.
He was Wesneski last year.
Yeah. 100% percentile and walk percentage.
It's pretty good.
Nasty.
Like, other than that fastball velo, it's really good.
You don't need fastball
velo. I'm just saying, that's the only like blemish on there that you could even point to.
I'm excited about that starting four. You give me a rotation with Hunter Brown, Hayden Wesneski, Peter Lambert, and Brandon Walter, AOS champions, baby.
And maybe that's why Blue Ball will just be a bullpen guy next year, because you have those pieces that you would start the offseason with, and
Imai.
You probably will trade for something.
You have Imai, you have Javier,
Burrows.
You have Blanco, you have Burrows, you have Pecco, you have Mayer. I think there's a good chance Blue Ball is your setup guy.
Peko could go back down.
Yeah, Peko's not. I don't factor.
Sure, but he would be in the mix. He would be in spring training fighting for a job.
Sure.
But wouldn't be one of your best 6, 7, 8 starting pitchers.
You can't stop from doing it.
It's so funny.
Does your wife know you? Do you have this problem at home,
no.
too? Is it just here?
I don't talk numbers with
it's
her.
It's just us.
Man.
We bring the 6, 7 out of them.
Mm. But Brandon Walter was a stud. Oh, and then we also have to mention Nelly Velasquez yesterday. Nelly Velasquez, superstar. Yeah, if you wanted to listen to it, this is sure. Nelly Velasquez yesterday. I told you this guy would help.
There it is.
Both to center for a base hit. In to score Paredes. Here comes Altuve. Here comes the throw. Safe at home plate. 2-0 Astros. Nelson Velasquez coming through with another big swing.
Huge swing.
Bagwell. From the waist down, that guy's big. Huge swing.
He's something in the booth.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't.
But Nelly, good move.
Very he's good got move. Two hits, but they're both very impactful.
I know.
That's kind of what he is.
Yeah.
Like it's just like he either crushes one or maybe he'll come through and the rest of the time he's probably getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's true for every player.
I think it's like he's to an extreme. That was rude.
Clutch Nelly.
Junkie says maybe the sweep of the Rangers was a bigger series to put them in first at break, but they played bad directly after the series. That's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of biggest series wins of the year. Rangers, Rays, this one over the White Sox. Junkie and Blue Ball mowed them down in the ninth today. He did. Mowed them down in the ninth. Even though Blue Ball has been great this year, I don't think he has that same setup filth that we know Abreu has when he's right. No, he's not as filthy as Abreu, but he's efficient. Mm-hmm. Like, Abreu's a free agent. Are they going to re-sign him? If they don't hire a general manager, maybe, because they love their seventh inning relievers there. But I like Blue Ball.
I don't think Abreu will be back.
So. I don't think so either.
I want to say yes, but if you believe reports, Crane nixed the trade that would have sent him away. So apparently he has some love there.
Yeah, has he pitched his way into closer money for another team?
I don't think so.
You don't think anyone's watching, like, after he corrected himself this year and saying, like, that's our closer now?
But you could see from his entire career, he's always struggled as a ninth inning guy.
Yeah, I don't think.
I could see one of the other 29 teams talking themselves into.
He might be, like, what's closer money, though? Like, are we talking about top 30 reliever money, or are we talking about, like, top 10 reliever money? Because he could very likely maybe even be the closer for the Minnesota Twins next year. Yeah. They try to trade for him. He could be the closer for the, I don't know what Kansas City has, the Kansas City Royals, like a lower market,
sure, maybe not
sub 500
like, yeah,
team.
Yeah, not like that elite tier of money.
No.
But like be a closer somewhere.
Yeah, he could be a closer somewhere. Yeah. I just don't think he's going to get like a crazy amount of money. I don't think he's going to get what we would consider huge contract. I don't think he's going to get what Rafael Montero got. And that was 3 years ago, whatever
it was.
Not
sure anyone should have got that.
Well, I mean, like, haters of the world get it.
Well, yeah, like those guys, but.
Well, that's my point. Like, I think that Abreu can be a closer somewhere, but I don't think he's going to get big money to be a closer somewhere.
Yeah, like, maybe like $10 million.
Probably more than that. Maybe like a $30 million for 2 years, something like that.
I could see. I mean, that would put, if he was at $15 million, that would put him as the sixth highest paid relief pitcher in baseball.
Oh, that's higher than I thought then. Maybe like 24 for two. What would $12 million put him at?
That would put him eighth.
Really?
Yeah. Rafael Montero is still the eighth highest paid in relief.
$12 million a year makes him eighth?
Yeah.
Maybe it's 10. Could the Astros give him 30 for three? Would you be okay with that? I wouldn't. I'm ready for that to be over.
I wouldn't, but someone will.
Specifically for the Astros. Like, no, I'm a huge Brian Abreu guy. Like, I've defended Brian Abreu.
I think
people call him a mental midget. But I can't spend $10 million, $12 million on him whenever I'm paying Emi 16.677. Whenever I'm paying Christian Javier 18 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you're paying Hader. Like, you can't pay him 10, 12
million. No, you got to fix your outfield.
16.67. Can't stop it.
Actually, that's what it is.
I know, but you can't stop it.
That is a factual statement. My goodness. I want to do this Lance tweet.
Gen Z Branham.
So Lance just tweeted a little bit ago, in the spirit of the reporter who had his credential pulled by the Titans, we can't do this?
We have a guest coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. That's my bad. I got sidetracked by Brian Abreu and Tatsy Emi contracts. All right, let's get to another media member. He's not going to get his credentials taken away. Jane, I thought you were like, we can't do this segment.
We can. We
I
will.
Thought he was X-naying it. We'll do it after. We're going to do it. All right. But James Boyd first. James Boyd, 1075 AM, the Fan in Indy, Colts best for the Athletic. We'll talk to him, break down the Colts as we continue our preview of the AFC South. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.